Hi, welcome to another episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading, and I'm leaning into this Mercury being in retrograde, whatever that means. I'm going to be talking about COVID, dispelling myths, and just talking about the shenanigans, and also doing a little bit of ABCs on you. Also talking about what I'm eating, what I'm reading, what I'm watching. And yeah, Dave Chappelle said some wild-ish in his comedy show, but it's still kind of funny, and we are laughing. Just saying. Know Your Worth from Khalid and Disclosure. Know Your Worth. And this comes up for this new start to the start of this show. I'm talking about Mercury being in retrograde, me giving the side eye why I started that particular dialogue. I had a request for guest blogger that went left, and it just proves again that sometimes not everybody, even family members, can go where you gotta go. People will keep taking and taking because they think they're entitled to it, because they have the privilege to be your relative, and I'm kind of just over it. So this is my response to that. Enjoy Khalid and Disclosure. When you're feeling down. And also, do y'all know your worth? I'm beginning to know mine, and I'm not taking a whole bunch of ish from anybody. Yes, I do. Sure do. So, what exactly does Mercury in retrograde mean? It is an astronomical phenomenon that we're supposed to be in until basically tomorrow, October 18th. It is when, and I had to look this up because actually I was looking up several things, but in particular, I was looking for like crabs in the gold bucket, and then I came across or a great photo for Mercury in retrograde, crabs in the bucket, as well as what exactly it is. It seems like from an astronomical standpoint, from September 27th through the 18th, it appears that the planet moves backwards direction from west to east. And it seems the major rules of communication can be just kind of crazy. And it seems like even before, yeah, it actually does seem like during this time I got hit up or came hip to people in particular, in my instance, family members seeming to have lost their damn minds. For example, helping people with their responsibility as an adult, and doing it uncontested for a number of years, and then finding out that people are lying about your contributions, or the withdrawal of those contributions, or knowing that they're still making horrible financial decisions, and it's not up to me to be your personal ATM card. I didn't go to school for this long, I don't work as many hours, and I didn't work this hard to get this job to be able to support everybody. That's not my stick. It would be great if I would, and I would do it
honorably if people just weren't stupid. Then I got a request, more of a demand, from another relative with, this comes across, you know, everybody's been struggling with the pandemic. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people were dependent on those stimulus checks and an extension of the unemployment benefits. I also realize that people don't realize that I remember that you really probably haven't had a traceable source of income for about 4 or 5 years. So you may have gotten those unemployment benefits illegally. But let's back up before that. It seems I do my best creating when I'm ticked off, because the reason why I started this whole podcast is because I was so dissatisfied with television watching opportunities, and I was working a job in a place I hated. So now I got someone that, although they couldn't provide the content in the form that I wanted, they gave me many ideas that I can have somebody else provide the content. And it also gives me a read opportunity for myself, because I had to. I mean, I basically was referring to, you basically hit me up for $150, $175 for grocery money when you live in a place that has an extensive food kitchens or food closets, and you can stand in line and do that for your own. And I know I'm never going to get the money back. So, and I basically, when I basically say no, but I give you the opportunity to, I have a website. I've made some changes in my website, changed the content and the way the content is handled through SEO, as well as how I attach my hashtag, and getting someone or allowing someone to provide the content that is even a better writer than myself. That all came up with this interaction. I would love to have a multimedia company, because I think there's still room for other people with different perspectives on the internet. I think there's room for people and their take on the news or the lack of thereof, and to provide content, because there's willing people that are willing to actually see this, to look into this, and to investigate. And there's some people that really trip out about other people's opinion and are entertained by it. One of the things that I know there's a place for me, even in the face of thousands and thousands of podcasts, there are ways that these other podcasts are also getting ranked, getting seen all over the world. It seems like the internet is causing the world to become a smaller place, smaller and smaller. With that said, I'm also blessed to have a daytime job that can support this passion project. And maybe one day that I won't have that. I like what I do. I say I like what I do. It's not like I don't really love what I do. I love doing my podcast, but I don't really love my daytime job. I like my daytime job, and I'm grateful that I get paid enough to be able to pay other creatives and to create a safe space for other creatives and other opinions, as long as they ain't too crazy and trolling, to create. And I think I've done a really good job. No, I don't have 1 million followers, and no, my distribution has just gone up exponentially. And I'm actually, my podcast as well as my blog is being streamed and read in multiple countries. I'm going to get to those million, I'm going to get to over 10,000 downloads. It's very much a possibility that if I keep grinding, I may be able to do that before the end of the year. But, and I would love to be able to provide a place for other creatives and for other people that are doing a damn thing. Do I see myself becoming an Issa Rae or a Cardi or even from Anaconda? Fans are the Barbs, but she absolutely has over a million followers. I'm not even trying to become on par with Lil Nas X. They have their own following. I'm not saying I'm up there, but what I do create, I'm on my grind, and I just want a small percentage of what they have. I think 1,200 followers on Instagrams because I post about my dog and food. That's not bad. But I'm going to have to get on it if I'm going to continue to get my following. So if you come at me and you ask for money and then I say no, and then you go to downplaying or make, it seems like you're making fun of what I'm doing, and you don't even acknowledge the hard work that I've put into it and what my intent is and where it could possibly go. And I've found that it is really difficult. It's very much more difficult to deal with someone, a creative, a so-called creative, with an inflated sense of self-worth than someone that is a true creative and doesn't know how much they're worth. I would never take advantage of that second, the latter, because I wouldn't want anybody to take advantage of me, and especially if you give me what I want and great content, I'm going to pay you with your worth. But what I'm not going to do is what you're not going to do to me is come off as you are all that, and you become abrasive or condescending when someone doesn't either buy or also agree with their inflated sense of self-worth. Here's the case in point. If I'm not going to give you, I'm going to request that at least, you know, I got this bio going on and I am willing to pay you for X, Y, and Z. And I give you the criteria because I know what the going rate is, because I've done freelance blog posting also on Fiverr, so I know how much is getting. And I've also bought, and because of my interaction with you, I needed the content. I went back to that platform and I've been able to introduce an amazing blogger to the rest of the world from a whole different country. So this is what I get back. I get someone telling me that the minimum cost of creating a 15-second spot is $500, and you don't want your name on a pod or like a blog post because your board of directors don't want to hear about what you are, your struggles, or not associated with a blogger or someone that has less than a million followers. I also, and you can't take less than $100 for a post. because of your street cred. Well, if you had that kind of cred and you could make $175 a post, why are you coming at me for $175 for a block for groceries to get you through for 2 weeks? Do you realize that the math, one, the math don't make any sense, and two, are you crazy? Because the my read was how I responded to that and the post itself is exactly as follows. So here's the thing. I'm confused about your logic and some of the quoted prices in your text. $500 for 15 seconds of video content seems to be a bit excessive, given the free access to video clips and suites provided by YouTube Studios. Also, unless you're purchasing new software for your own use or a new iPhone, every time that you create this content, that also price is pretty excessive, because I think I paid, I don't think I paid anything close to that for Final Cut Pro or Logic Pro combined. I know my blog and site are not what you consider a mainstreamer, but $175 for one article, even with your quote unquote access, is outrageous. Also, how is this supposed to catch on if you go by anonymous RD? Is that trending? The Shade Room Vulture news sites are not paying that for anyone with less than 1 year blogging experience. Check out www.fiverr.com, because the cost for blog posts or content for websites starts anywhere between $35 to $50 US for a minimum 500 word article with at least one edit. I know, but I got paid more than that because the content that I provided was more than that. My content was like 500 to 1,000 words, and I got paid considerably because I hit it out of the park, sometimes with one edit, and I got them back in within hours. And I basically said, your article needs work, and it's only 364 words with no attention to SEO, content, or ranking. I will be willing to pay $50 with one edit if you increase that word count to 500 words. And I can pay you $50 per 500 word article with obvious keywords and attention to SEO ranking. Consider writing an expanded piece on surviving the pandemic as a creative, or navigating a massive city like NYC during the pandemic if you are in a high risk group. Black with irritable bowel had to be treacherous, or your own personal battle with vaccine hesitancy. You know, I put in the work to get my articles accepted for publication and get my site higher up on rankings and read throughout North America, England, France, Portugal, Australia, Germany, and Pakistan. If this is off-brand to you, you can reconsider submitting it. I actually am very fortunate to have found guest bloggers from Sri Lanka and Pakistan who are providing content from an Asian perspective with rankings and readings to show it. I'm following the stats. Let me know your thoughts. The response that I got is, my board of advisor left out of has requested that 100% of my time be focused on closing distribution for my talk show, as we have global brands and content partners waiting on confirmed distribution.
Okay.
As my name and branding is attached to their names, anything else would be considered a distraction and I lose their support. Why are you asking me for $175 if you got all this support? Okay. They don't want to know my struggles or how I do it. They just want it done. I'm pitching a CMO with a multi-million dollar ad budget in South by Southwest this week. Okay. Video content. Don't care, because I'm not asking for video content. But it says, I earned the ability to share my content via Pence Media, Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, Showtime, all of which have millions of followers. I'm not sure what type of video content you produce, but my editor alone is $250 per hour, which doesn't include at least one crew member. We're not a match in this area. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care. And it looks like those are per hours for a crew, when I was just simply talking about the editing software. I still think that's overpriced, but and in the blogs, I've been blogging for years and haven't had time to create content for my own platform, much less someone else's, since pre-COVID. I'm invited to contribute to conferences, blogs, magazines with millions of views, and I haven't had a chance. I view your blog as a confidential way of saying what I can't say under my own name and help those who are trying to make it avoid common industry mistakes that they wouldn't know to avoid. I can't even consider anything less than $100 for a blog post with less than 1 million followers, as I've had a lot of people depending on my success in 3 key areas for my business. Okay, cool. And my response to that is, you know, cool. I guess we're at an impasse. I'm not paying above market rate when the market does not support over 100 US for a piece, less than 100, 500 words for an anonymous writer for a blog post. I will pass on the submission. Thanks for your time. So I don't know. Do I think it was a mistake for me to pass on an article rife with derision and lies? And that's actually going to help no one, because there's not enough sustainable and actionable information in the blog. I think by putting it into a context with COVID or trying to make an effort, that it could be a great piece. And I would be helping you out and I would be getting the content. However, it doesn't appear that you are willing to be derisive and negative, because you don't even see either one of us both as creatives, and you don't see my little niche blog as a possibility to help you out. You're trying to say that you're pitching to a bunch of high level executives, but you basically are saying you don't want to know about stream information, rankings, etc. That's not going to help you be able to get that pitch bought. Maybe I don't know anything, but what I do know is you can't be so blatantly obtuse and so blatantly a jackass and think I'm not going to know, which you're basically thumbing your nose at the contributions and the importance of my own blog and in my own niche. Though I'm not pitching to the Paramount Pluses and the other content streamers of the world. But why wouldn't I, or why shouldn't I, or why can't I? This type of ridicule, that's what it felt like, why I had such a visceral response to this. It just seems like you didn't even or wouldn't acknowledge my contribution to entertainment or my worth as a creative, because you don't see me as functioning on the same level as you are. While you are trying to have, it seems like you have some type of make-believe world, or make-believe that you're going to hit it big by doing this, but that's insanity, isn't it? Has it been working for you for the last 20 years? So I don't think I'll be able to ever sit down at that particular table, but I think I'm creating my own damn table and chair, for that matter, in this space I call blogging, in this space I call self-published creative content. And thank you for inspiring me to create more content, because my response to this derision has given me more posts with side-eye sidebars as I express my frustration and annoyance at how you are coming with me. So thanks, bro. I didn't have to pay you for it, and I got more ideas for other contents, ideas that I'm going to have somebody else write that you don't think you need to write, because you think one little raggedy post is worth $175. But I got four ideas that I'm going to probably pay somebody else for $200 for, to get the same content, to actually get to increase the rankings every time I publish anew. And I did it all without you. So thanks, bro. Thanks for the derision, because it's inspired me to get the ideas that I need to increase my creative outlet, which is my blog, and also giving me the contact for my podcast. And when I do land the sponsorship for my podcast, am I going to look for you to be that sponsor? Nah, probably not. Because you were giving me the side eye and expanding all of this shade while you were BSing when I just wanted a simple article to be able to help you out and give you your own streaming and give you your own data. Nerds to that, nerds to you. Good luck with that, bro. So that's all I got to say about that. And I'm going to finish fussing and end my side eye sidebar with this note. And what I published today is, don't come at me with crazy and with your hands out. Don't think that I'm going to pay for vapor and smoke. I don't have it, and I'm not going to do it. But what I am going to do is continue to create true content that not only educates people and entertains, and I'm going to make it, and it's going to be successful because I'm claiming that for myself. But I got to put in the work. And I'm hopeful that by leading it by example, I'm also inspiring other people to put in the work to the content and make it great.
It's not nice. Food is so big. Word, Lord, have mercy.
I keep pausing like I do. I keep pausing like I do. I keep pausing like I do. I keep pausing like you do.
I'm sure you're saying, what is my old butt blasting Chloe for? This is Have Mercy from her single not too long recently released. You can tell she is the protege of the late, the great Beyonce, who's also flossing in that new Tiffany's ad, her and Jay-Z. I'm just saying, that is a big ass blood nomin. I'm just saying. But this is the introduction to the next section of it coming up, where I talk about COVID, do a little bit of science for y'all, as well as talk about the shenanigans surrounding it. We're never going to get to the end of this panorama, if the Republicans and GOP stop politicizing this nonsense. You can't mandate something that is going, mandate against something that is going to protect employees at private companies and the public. Stop it.
I would like to have a day where, or a podcast where I don't have to talk about the shenanigans and stupidity of everything that's surrounding COVID-19. But since I have not met that day, I still got plenty to talk about. The best I can do is just educate on motives, etc., because it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. I'm going to start at the top with debunking one of the beliefs of COVID-19. I had the pleasure of last week being allowed to participate in the 2021 virtual AAP National Conference. I took part in a section about the myths surrounding COVID. I like the provider that spoke about it because he's given me fodder for follow-up in episodes to come. Thanks, bro. Dig it. It's also given me 2 points of contention. One is that there are still ongoing invalid reasons for vaccine hesitancy in the U.S. Kyrie Irving needs to stop it. There's nothing that he can say that's going to make his hesitancy or his refusal to get the vaccine, now that we are 200 million doses in, okay. One of the reasons people have given, besides the vaccine making you magnetic, which it does not, is that the vaccine, or the components of the vaccine, which is mRNA or messenger ribonucleic acid, can change your DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. I'm just going to do a little science project, or a little science lesson. The components of the COVID vaccine is messenger RNA. It is a type of genetic material that is not at all the live virus. The live virus itself is made of a combination of deoxyribonucleic acid and I'm sorry, I had to pause because I had to go back. Oh, this is something, one of the things, COVID is making me go back and brushing up on my biochemistry. Actually, the genetic material of COVID-19 is RNA, which is ribonucleic acid, and it's a single strand of ribonucleic acid. So when the vaccine, which is messenger RNA, is actually injected into the body, it's seen as a part of the genetic makeup of this horrible virus. It takes it up, and then that particular type of genetic material breaks this virus. Why it can't mess with our DNA is a matter of semantics, and it's a matter of ABCs. DNA and RNA, two completely different types of genetic material. DNA does not take up RNA unless you have the correct enzymes and other proteins to make it change the DNA. You can't, unlike and unlike, cannot go together to make a fucked up DNA. I'm sorry, y'all. That is facts. That is science. That's genetic. There's no way RNA can change our DNA because we do not have the type of enzymes that can make that happen. And those enzymes are not included in the vaccine. So anybody that's popping off about that lie needs to stop today, because it is scientifically not able to do that. Also, I stated, and I just wanted to go back over that, I read a very compelling article on Kevin MD. It's a free website that I can only hope to have this type of platform reaching as many people as I possibly can, but it does. I'm starting to, he actually is supported by MedPage. I don't have anybody this type of level of support, but I'm also looking forward to possibly creating something similar to this with this level of respect and the type of content that will allow me to get this type of cred, not just street credibility, but also sponsor support. He has a great advertisement by several big pharma, as well as the most with MedPage, because he's considered a medical news platform. But that's neither here nor there. I'm actually going to change, because I actually have an Anchor account. You can actually listen to this article also, but this is like pediatricians are right. This is a pediatrician's take on COVID-19, being overworked, being on the front lines. I would conjecture that parents need to also read this and listen to the fact that your providers are running on E. You don't want to get that provider that's a great provider that is, but is running away from the practice because y'all are getting on their damn nerves. Not just so because they're just burnt out and they're tired. This article and being participating in the AAP's our national convention basically reinforce why I don't practice full time anymore. I don't want to have to basically spend so much time reading all the trash that's out there on Google and having to refute that with someone that's armed with their Google search that makes me want to treat their kid like the Google search pattern actually says. I don't have time and I don't have patience for that. I'm also glad that I am also being paid enough that I can actually still do my podcast without a whole bunch of shenanigans and people coming at me and not understanding what I do or why I've made the decisions, and I have to keep can prove myself with each and every patient. And if you work in the last place I worked in was in an urgent care setting for a particularly long period of time. And I can't imagine spending 12 fucking hours trying to convince 60 different patients that I have to prove my credentials and my thought process 60 separate different times in a 12-hour period. I don't have the time and I don't have the patience to do that anymore. Whatever I have to do, that being a medical director at this level and until my podcast really takes off and I get a MedPage-like sponsorship, I'm so glad that I don't have to do that anymore. But that is not, that is the reality of pediatricians. You don't pay, there is no way that you could pay me enough to take the BS that a lot of these providers are taking. We got a never-ending pandemic. We got people like that fool Abbott making mandates that makes it illegal for you to, tries to make it illegal for you to protect the public as well as their employees when you have, they're taking it, they're being extra with this crap because you can't tell me that I'm going to do whatever I can to keep this pandemic going. And I don't care if the medical providers are pulling their hair out or killing themselves and are leaving the practice because you are making it illegal for people to get the actual treatment for what we are trying to prevent. This is basically public health being put on trial because people think really, and it's an offense to their personal freedom to infect, to become infected and to infect others when there is a treatment for it. And I don't understand it. All I do know is the pediatricians and other private professionals, medical professionals cannot keep up. Some people are, and nurses and pediatricians, et cetera, are leaving the field and their practice, and you're going to be left to the wolves because you're going to have a bunch of inexperienced people that don't know what the hell that they're doing and not going to be able to take care of people on the level that they actually should be taken care of. All because of some false insult to personal freedom and people willing to line their pockets to keep this pandemic going. And what can the parents do to ensure this doesn't happen? Take the selfish tack. They don't care how this provider feels. They need to take care of my child. Or can I not act stupid and do what I can do to be patient and make sure that I don't call for every little thing, and I don't bog them down with stupid questions and my own Google research and make them prove their medical degree when they should just be focusing on, is my child sick or not sick, and how can they get, how can I, what do I need to do to get them better? That's what they need to be focusing in on instead of trying to one up and pimp the pediatrician. However, no one is allowing them to do that, and they're not heeding the warnings. And I think there's going to be a flight out of medicine that we're not going to be able to, that our already tenuous medical system is really going to start feeling the strain when not only are they not going to have enough nurses taking care of these patients, when their doctor says, dude, it's just not worth my mental health and my sanity to come in and take care of people that basically are denying something that really does exist, and they won't take the treatment. Who wants to do that? I know I don't, and that's why I do what I do during the day. But there are absolutely other reasons for vaccine hesitancies, and I think probably one of the best take on this was from a guest blogger, Ramsha from Pakistan. This is an expansion of a previous article that she wrote, Death, Denial, and COVID Pandemic. She titled this Public Mistrust and Vaccine Hesitancy in Japan and Philippines. And she hit several great points. You can actually hear this article in total by navigating over to the homepage and clicking on, here's the thing, public mistrust and vaccine hesitancy. It's actually a podcast, or I will be converting it to a podcast. As soon as I can figure it out. But vaccine hesitancy in Asia has three main components between convenience and complacency and confidence. And in Japan, because of their history, it looks like their history with MMR and HPV and an aseptic meningitis that affected people and the way it was spun and ignored in the media is why there's so many people. When I heard that 35% vaccine rate in Japan, I was floored because I was like, you know, they're not a third world country and they have that low vaccine rate. But the same thing is in the Philippines, and they have a reason to. That anti-dengue fever and all the misinformation that surrounded that vaccine, in fact, with some serious complications from that vaccine, and how the government wasn't truthful, so why should they, and it couldn't believe the data, so why should they, again, trust vaccine mandates in the face of that level of mistrust and discontent that actually surrounds all of that? And then, because of racism and hesitancy, nobody's going to trust any vaccine that's actually made from the Chinese if it's not Western-derived, like AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and Moderna. Nobody's going to trust that it actually works. And it's probably bereft with more with even more side effects that they're probably lying about. I can't trust them. I can't trust the government, so I'm just going to have to lay here and die because I don't have a treatment that I can absolutely trust. I think that is such such bunk, but that is what is leading to the vaccine hesitancies in this government. They've taken misinformation to a whole other level. And we're not going to get a hold of this epidemic or this pandemic until everybody is on board with what is it going to take from a scientific standpoint to stamp this out. I can't even imagine, but I'm really looking forward to possibly an end to this. I have to do something because I'm getting weirder and weirder as the day gets long. The days get longer and longer, or shorter and shorter, because time is getting ready to go back. I'm also waiting for when it's not political suicide, or people are not would prefer to promote stupidity instead of doing the right thing. I went to an art show and I was one of the few people out there in my freaking mask, and I got these weird looks. And I'm like, there's a virus out there that is basically you can still get sick from the actual disease. Number one, because I'm fully vaccinated, I may or may not get on a ventilator and possibly die or possibly get sick enough to be hospitalized. But I still don't want to get this disease. So we got a whole bunch of MAGA mugs, undercover MAGA mugs. They're giving me the side eye when they see me in my mask. We also got MAGA mugs passing mandates that making it illegal for private companies to protect their employees, again, 200 million doses in, as well as the public, from a virus that's killing MFers. 700,000 people did not have to die. This bitch has killed more people than the Spanish flu did in the early part of the 20th century. And you mean to tell me we got a vaccine to protect us from that shit? Y'all basically sat on your laurels and y'all are letting this stuff go because y'all have some misguided look on personal freedoms and not really coming out with protecting personal freedom and et cetera, when y'all don't give a damn about anybody's personal freedom except for your personal freedom to increase your PAC's bottom line. You don't care. So stop going on that when you're basically turning back the tide on voter freedom and freedom of choice, but you won't do what you need to do to protect lives. These lives, ours lives, my life, against a virus that is hunting us and doesn't give a crap which political party you are in. But what we do know is the GOP is running up on freedom under the guise of constitutionality and et cetera, because they're willing to say and do whatever they can, again, to line their own pockets. With that said, American Airlines and Southwestern are not with the dumbness. They saying get vaccinated or you don't need to work for us. My company has said that too. They gave us until October. You not vaccinating, deuces. You can basically protest all you want to, but you protest, and if you refuse to get vaccinated, then go. Bye. If you have another stream of income, you can go ahead and work somewhere else. You don't have to work for the company. So with that said, those are the shenanigans. This is I started with science, and I'm grateful that I'm still learning and I'm still boning up on my biochemistry. But I ended it with a bit of shenanigans, but there's still hope. It looks like, even in spite of this political back and forth and some of these stupid making it illegal to protect people from it, it looks like the numbers and the deaths from COVID actually have been dropping in the last few weeks. And that makes me absolutely happy. In spite of super spreader events like opening day for the NFL, several other late summer, early fall celebrations, We got through Labor Day, had the spike, and then the numbers have gone down again. And then because of the mandates, we've had a nice increase, not as much as people would expect, but we've also had an increase in people getting vaccinated. And all the, and also, we're right around the bend for emergency use authorization for kids under the age of 16, or excuse me, under the age of 14. We've had an increase or a new treatment that has become available, a pill to treat early stage COVID that's on par with Tamiflu. Again, Tamiflu is for influenza. The modernifier or the treatment for COVID, a different virus, two different virus, two different sources, but both effectively treat early stage of their respective diseases. Don't get it twisted. You can't take Tamiflu and protect you against COVID. I don't even need to say, see the science behind that, because I know they're two different organ, they're two different organisms. So with that said, so there is a lot of shenanigans. There seems to be a push for stupidity led by the GOP. But in spite of all of that, the numbers are starting to drop, the deaths are starting to drop, and there seems to be hope or light at the end of the tunnel that doesn't appear to be a high-speed approaching Amtrak. It truly appears to be some relief towards getting to the end of this. I don't know if we're going to ever be able to stamp it down, but we can sure give it a run for its money if we just follow the rules. And this is coming up towards the last couple of sections for my episode. What a Way to remix of the Reading Rainbow by 8-Bit Betty. I'm going to be talking about what I am eating and what I'm drinking, as well as what I'm watching. And I have a whole take on Dave Chappelle's new comedy special, The Closer. I don't know if it's a new take per se, but it's just my opinion on a clearly genius, trolly, annoyed comedian. Even though what he says is problematic, no, he doesn't need to be canceled. And maybe Netflix may consider pulling his specials, but he said some worse shit in his other specials. And if you really realize, a lot of his stuff is recycled. But are they gonna pull it? Probably not. I think he's probably trending number one now, and he got the numbers to support it. They ain't pulling that shit. So there you go. I don't know what people think that I do, or meaning I don't know what people think that I do all day. Most days I lead a pretty boring life, I would think if you were looking in. My biggest thing is, now that I absolutely have a kitchen, I absolutely like to cook, but I hate to clean up. So I find myself when I'm not fussing with my dog in my kitchen, just figuring out or trying different things. A couple of months ago, actually, let's go back a little bit. At the beginning of the pandemic, before I even sold my place, SIS in North Carolina, that even sounds weird to me, I had ordered a bunch of beef to put in my deep freezer. in North Carolina. That's one of the things that I'm sad that I left behind. I had an upright deep freezer and I didn't bring it with me. One of the things, it stayed in storage. It would have had to stay in storage for almost a year, so kind of glad I didn't. But smarter thing, one of the smarter things that I did was absolutely buy a couple of $100 worth of beef. And it was probably one of the smartest things that I did, because right after that, and the delivery, the pork and beef industry came to a head when a lot of the plants had to shut down because workers were falling sick, truckers were falling sick, the supply chain and shipping and logistics went all to hell. So not only was I able to get beef from Omaha Steaks at a reasonable price at that time, I was actually able to get it before the shipping industry and the big industrial complex that is the massive meat packers, all that shit went to hell. It was one of those things that I did, and I did well, et cetera, et cetera. So I packed, put all that stuff on. I put all the stuff on ice when I absolutely sold my properties and I moved to Tennessee. And then I closed on this property here on Forest in the beginning of the summer, June. And I didn't have a lot left, and I knew I wanted to get a re-up, so I was watching TV, and there's actually a local old school butcher, Ed's butchery in Hickson. That's when I also found out, like, a lot of the stuff that I depend on is in Hickson, of all places, the most MAGA rich place. But I didn't see that anywhere on their site, because I say that to say this, because if I had saw some Trump positive crap on the site, I wouldn't have bought from them. But I don't know if they're just smart, but they basically ain't trying to mix business with some political ideas, and I'm actually grateful for that. But not too long after moving here, I basically was able to go up to good old Ed's and purchase at least several months of locally sourced, locally sourced beef products here. Again, right before the meat industry and logistics took a nosedive or went to hell once more, as we continually try to emerge from this Panera Bread. And that's what I say all of that to say, the background of what I'm cooking for my Sunday dinner. I wanted to make it clear. My plan today is, I just really thought of this, I'm having braised beef tips. I don't really like the taste of, like, sherry or wine based. But I think I'm going to have to hook that up so I get rid of this cooking wine, just saying, or the rest of that Malbec over there. that I actually have, and I can open up a fresh bottle. I think that's going to be good. But I just looked up online the best way to cook beef ribs. It's low and slow. If you're going to braise them, you get the pan hot. Use a cast iron skillet if you have one. And you just basically brown it on all sides. You can follow it up with cooking after you set them to rest. You can then cook, if you're going to cook like vegetables after that. I'll probably, let's see, I don't have any mushrooms, got to throw those away, but I'll probably sear some of those scallions I have in there. I'll probably save that for last, but I'll actually then go ahead and braise them as suggested online by one of the chefs. I don't think she's an amateur chef. I just think I like her recipe because it's very simple. Season up, salt and pepper, but I actually use a meat tenderizer. Braise or brown the short ribs on all sides. Add the braising liquid. I'm going to use a combination of beef stock and, as I said, the red wine. I'm not going to add too much. Probably going to add a little bit less, then fill the pan up to a little bit less if they're laying flat, a little bit less than half. And then I'm going to cook them on 200 and check the temperature. I decided to cook it that way, low and slow, and check the follow the temperature because I don't want to overcook it because I don't want the beef tips to actually shrink too much. And then I'm going to cook up some, I have some mashed potatoes that I am going to use a little bit of the scallions and the garlic. And I'm going to re-whip those potatoes because I also have some cream in there. Get them nice and smooth and then top them with the braised short ribs and mashed potatoes. That's how I'm actually going to do Sunday dinner. And I hope those pictures are going to make you want to lick your screen because that's the whole intent. If I'm going to cook from home, at least the food needs to look good. I'm just saying, y'all. So I already spoke about what I'm eating, and I have since posted a picture of my garlic potato braised beef short ribs in a red wine reduction for my Instagram post. And not only am I editing and writing for my blog, I'm absolutely editing and writing specifically for my fictional podcast script. And that's one of the things why I actually started got the idea behind getting a guest blogger so I could have more time to devote to that. It didn't quite work out what I expected. I'm still having to do some editing, but it's not like I have to do heavy editing in order to get the pieces in publishable mode. I have been very lucky to be able to contract with a writer, Ramsha out of Pakistan, which I actually read her piece in the last segment about COVID. But I'm still always reading things. I read and found She Knows Food Blog. I'm also still reading about black privilege and our kind of people, and watching the show, getting ideas. I'm still working on dialogue because I don't want it, the fictional script, to be just a series of speeches, because that's what it just seems like right now. I would like to have some very compelling dialogue. I just don't know how to write it. My goal is to get the bones of the content of the script down and then work with an editor to get it in shape to be able to present it for the short scripts challenge. But one of the things I did have the opportunity to watch over the last several days, besides my usual 90 Day Fiancé, the franchise, and Pillow Talk, and Our Kind of People, and whatever else has dropped over the past week. But one of the things that people have been all up in arms about has been the new and last trilogy, if you believe Dave Chappelle, The Closer. I don't know who is the best at marketing, either him or Lil Nas X. And as I'm reading the podcast notes, I had to correct, make sure I got that musician's name correct. It's Lil Nas X and not Little. Dave Chappelle, I believe, is the original troll. Do I think what he has said in all three of these, all three of these specials, problematic? Yes. Do I think he's laughing all the way to the bank as he deposits his $60 million large? Yes, I do. Do I think he needs to be canceled? No, I don't. Do I think Netflix needs to pull The Closer? Maybe, but will they? Probably not. And because he is getting the numbers. How I tried to explain this to my less than productive relative is, you can't convince me to pay you Dave Chappelle or Demetri L. Lucas kind of scratch when you don't have the numbers, is the bottom line. Even in spite of the horrific formula that is Dave Chappelle, if you look at, I call it the old dude comedy trilogy, because starting with the Sticks and Stones and Equanimity and Old, and then The Closer, he is, some of these jokes have been recycled. What he has said from Sticks and Stones to Equanimity, did he change the context and he changed around at different, he hit on it several different points. But dude, they're the same fucking jokes over a 4-year period. Did he say back in 2016 or 2015, was it just as horrible as what he said in 2017, 2018? Hell yeah. What he said, starting with the punchline, I want to kick her in the pussy, is that just as bad? And did he say anything just as rude in The Closer? I'm sure he did. Did I laugh? Yeah, I did. And I know I'm going to hell behind it. And sometimes you're going to have to take going to hell on the chin, because shit is funny. But, and it's like, nobody is not spared. He started Sticks and Stones with the suicide of Anthony Bourdain. He talked and goes there about molestation and Michael Jackson and riffed on R. Kelly. And nobody, it doesn't really seem like nobody is spared. And y'all got all this beef and y'all want him to pull the show, and you are not going to get them to pull this show. Most of what he said in the special Was it wrong? Yes, it does. Does it warrant him being canceled? No, it does not. Will he be canceled? Probably not. Will Netflix pull this shit? No, they probably won't. And this is why. Because we are only days out talking about this. This bitch dropped weeks ago. We got people still writing think pieces about it. We got podcasters like myself, but with more pull than my little small platform, as my cousin so brilliantly pointed out, are still talking about it. What is causing people to do like me is they're causing other people that haven't seen it yet to watch it so they can form their own opinion. Or you're going to rewatch it because you're going to you can't figure out what all the beef is about. And then you're going to not only rewatch The Closer, you're going to watch it, rewatch his other shit, and then figure out, like I did after watching Sticks and Stones and Equanimity again, and finding and realizing just some of the foul ass shit he said in that. But the same foul ass shit that he said in The Closer, he already said before 2016, 2015. And all it's going to do is increase the streams and the revenues from Netflix, as well as I'm sure every time the shit is restreamed and it ends up climbing up the charts as far as was number three. I'm sure with all this rewatching, it's going to be number one soon. It's probably going to even outdistance Bridgerton, sorry Shonda Rhimes, but he's getting exactly what he wants. You're still talking about it. Free press. You're still writing featured articles, opinion articles about it in the New York Times, Roxane Gay. And even with you pointing out all of the problematic stuff, people are going to rewatch it just to find out what you said. Is that shit true? Or they're just going to watch it just because they just simply entertained by it. He prefaced one of his acts or one of his foul statements. I don't remember if it's Equanimity or Sticks and Stones, where he says, if this show makes you want to go out and hurt a transgender person, one, that's not on me. And I do agree with that to a certain extent. It's not on me, and you don't need to come to my show. Go, please leave. You can please leave. And you don't have to watch his shit. But what you can't do is you can't have it both ways. The more you talk about this stuff, as I said, he is the quintessential troll. I think Lil Nas X took a page from Dave Chappelle, because you expect him to say some trolly messed up stuff. That's the reason why you watch that shit. And he doubled down and he banks on that. That's why he used the formula. I say foul shit, it's going to get people talking, and that's how I'm going to get my streams. That's how I walked away from 50 mil, but I'm walking into 60 million plus. All the extra revenue, because I'm sure he has some back-end deal, the more extreme, he gets another incentive to say even more foul-ass shit or work it out so it even gets more clicks and streams, get more people upset about talking about it. But what this is not, it's not an attack on free speech. This is something on Civics 101. Free speech protects you from retaliation and from punishment by the government when you talk shit about the government. So if Donald Trump or even Biden, this administration, were to come, if he said some whack shit about the government or even the anti-transgender rhetoric that's in his show, if they tried to punish him or censored him or shut him down, that is an attack on free speech. What does it protect that? What doesn't really protect, it's not a run on exercising free speech. You're using, it's a contradiction in terms. This is Dave Chappelle saying some whack-ish that he shouldn't say. And just because he can, he shouldn't say it. But it's not a real argument and free speech, because that has, it's a total different connotation. This is if the government or somebody else came after him and tried to censor him. This is not Netflix taking his shit down or getting kicked off of Twitter or Instagram for saying some real foul homophobic crap, because that's a private company, and you have violated the rules of their policy and their code of conduct, and has nothing to do with free speech. But he's brilliant because he is greatest, because he's utilizing all of you guys for free press. He knows if you go to his show, he's going to say something foul. And every time I say something foul, I'm going to get written up for free without having to pay for it in the New York Times with a wide readership. The bitch is going to say it. Brilliant. And y'all are playing right into it. He's getting more people. What you are doing is forcing more people to stream whatever you call a non-funny, homophobic, sad rant, is what Roxane Gay basically said about it in her opinion piece for the New York Times, the Sunday New York Times. And we're still talking about it. And I know, I don't know if the few people that read or listen to my blog or listen to my show, y'all are going to try to find it. Y'all going to try to log into a VPN. You're going to get United States Netflix, and you're going to want to stream it. It is, he says some of the things in his equivalences and his observances are very funny. There's one thing that I didn't agree. I thought this article was absolutely well written, but I don't think there are parts of it that's problematic and that are not true. I don't think there was nothing in this as joyless tirade of incoherent, seething rage, misogyny, and homophobia and transphobia. Didn't say that. It is his interpretation of his art form, and it was funny as hell. I didn't get off this joyless, seething rage. There's always an undertone of rage and annoyance in Dave Chappelle's stick. But this is just not to this extent is what how she verbalized it. And if there's one of his jokes that I don't think it was taken out of context. I don't think she didn't give what the whole joke. I think she was so pissed off by the point of when he got to this point in the show, she basically could not hear what he was saying for the truth because she was so pissed off. I've been that mad where I'm so mad I don't hear the rest of what somebody else is saying. But this is what his take on the Me Too movement was. He basically said that the original movement, and when it became very white, was they were focused on the wrong thing. They were more worried about showing up at the Oscars in black dresses when if they had listened to him and all of them had fired their agents and demanded they got with somebody, a female that was on her grind and said, if you want to work with us, you are going to have to work with her. And then nobody would have been fed to Harvey Weinstein. He said it before the movement. And then he reiterated it in the show. And I think an irritation on his point was it was a very simple thing to do. We wouldn't necessarily needed to have the Harvey Weinstein wouldn't have been allowed to be Harvey Weinstein for almost two decades if they had listened to Dave Chappelle 15, 16 years ago. They wouldn't have had to wait it this long and at the end of his fucking career if they had done that very simple thing. But no, they didn't. So that's why it took them so long, and the end or the payoff was so bittersweet. But she left all of that out and the whole purpose of the absolute joke and the ending. I think when people get so tied up and being offended, they lose what the absolute point was. What I've seen, and I've saw this over and over again, which I think is brilliant. Dave Chappelle starts out with saying some of the whack and atrocious ish before he calls you on your other ish, before he changes up the game. And it probably is very offensive while he's pointing out certain things before he absolutely gets to the point. Like he went on about asking the guy who was a immigrant from Iraq before he set up that joke, before he went in to leaving us with a little bit kick, just a little bit of knowledge about what probably was left out of his citizenship exam and his classes, and all about how the civil rights movement started with the murder, and that murder was Emmett Till's murder, and how gangster the mother is. He basically, and he could use this probably to his own detriment, but he says some really whack shit before you get there. You may get your attention to the rest of his set may be clouded by your anger at something he said in a previous breath, but he basically gets around to what he's trying to do and educate you about what Black Lives Matter and the civil rights movement. And he's so cerebral, and he's an artisan at what he does. But he takes you on a wild ride of cussing and a little bit of phobia. But no one, and I repeat, no one is exempt from his ire. It just so happens that he really didn't go off in a negative way, or too much of a negative way, that I didn't notice about Black women and Black cisgender heterosexual women like myself, except to point out the racism of the women's movement, how they didn't want Sir Joyner's Truth Black Butt, Susan B. Anthony, who I got a whole collection of her silver dollars. But they didn't want her talking because they didn't want the women's movement to be overshadowed by racism. And in Sir Joyner's Truth, just like he said, like a typical Black mama, she gonna talk anyways. I found that to be funny. It could have been taken as misogynistic. Don't care. It was funny as hell. And he got the point across. So if you can get through some of the foul ish that he says, he has done his job. He wants to piss you off, so you look up this shit so you can listen to him, and you may get a little entertained and laugh about it. And he's going to get free press from people that are not going to like anything that he does, because they get stuck on the pieces of them that they find the most offensive. Now, am I saying that he should have said any of this homophobic, transphobic crap? Nah. But he did say it kind of funny. Does it excuse him? No. And again, do I think he needs to be canceled? Hell no. Will he be canceled? Probably not. And is Netflix going to take his shit down? Probably not. So stop asking him. That's what I want to tell people. Like, you, it's like when you start, keep asking your mama, 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 please, please, please. And then she says no before she punches you in the head. That's what basically is the whole Netflix and their response to all of this. You can keep asking me, but I'm not going to do it, because every time we talk about it, I'm sure somebody is streaming it. He's getting the numbers. They've worked the numbers, and they're not going to take his shit down. Sorry, y'all. Stop asking them.
We're going to dance. We're going to dance and have some fun.
And that's how I'm going to leave you this episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading. Mercury may be in retrograde, but I'm still grooving. I hope to have left you on a positive note to encourage you to read great things and to watch great things. I'm throwing a lot of shade out there because I'm just tired of the dumbness, people coming at me like crazy. But only evidently, according to the astronomical charts, I only got one more day of this foolishness. So there you go. If you will take the time to either leave comments wherever you listen to this podcast, or even in my Dale's Angels Inc. blog, I greatly appreciate it. And or you can send it to tinfroisreading@gmail.com. And if it's not too trolly, I may actually read it on my podcast. I'm not going to take any live calls, and don't roll up on me, because a few times that you see me in the street, don't just leave it in the comments. This is how I express my art. And the Cowboys just spanked the Patriots. They playing like the Cowboys of 5 years ago, and I'm here for it. Woo-hoo! It's them boys. It's them boys. And as always, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Go Cowboys.
In this torso, heart got a deal you wanna know. Delightful, truly delightful. Making it, doing it, especially at a show. Feeling kinda high like a Hendrix haze. Music makes motion moves like a maze. All inside of me, heart especially. Hill of the rhythm, where I wanna be. Flowing, glowing with electric eyes. You dip to the dive, baby, you'll realize. Baby, you'll see the funk inside of me. Baby, you'll see that rhythm is exciting.